chose to take the path towards the comforter. The danger of allowing your experiences to define and redefine your belief system is it's not scriptural. My belief has to stay in him, Jesus. And Jesus is the word made flesh. He is the living, breathing scripture. Jesus is perfect theology. And I'm not to get my theology from other people and their experiences and my experience. I am to get my belief in Jesus Christ directly from him and his word. Well, I haven't seen it that yet. I've been in the middle of the story too. I'll tell you, you need to get off your timeline, get God out of the box in your life, and let him rework it all together for good. Because also I'll say this, he specializes in resurrections. And sometimes he resurrects things in our life in a different way than we ever imagined. And we are called to fight the good fight of faith, because it does say in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, it said some died in faith. We don't like to talk about that one, but they fought the good fight. Amen. And we are to fight the good fight. There are two paths. Everybody put the two up. We are going to choose as a church to take the path less traveled. The path towards the comforter. The path that will allow that red letter, the words of Jesus Christ and the works of Jesus Christ to define our belief system of who he is. And he told us who he is. There are two paths, very similar pain. Two radically different outcomes based on where we choose to walk and what we put our eyes on. Amen? I'm going to keep my eyes on the Word of God. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and we're going to get to our football analogy. Keep your eye on the ball. If God gives me a sports analogy, you know it's the Lord, because come on. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. We all deal with unbelief at times, and it can hinder us receiving by faith, all that God has provided for us and what he'd like to give to us. And he makes that very clear through his word, right? Unbelief often results from an ignorance of God's word. Real talk. So we don't know, oftentimes we don't know what the Lord has provided for us. Because we're not reading it, we're not reminding ourselves that he's the healer of the brokenhearted, that he is the provider, Jehovah Jireh. Amen? No matter what your bank account says, he is number one giving you wisdom. Wisdom means a budget. Wisdom means you cut up your credit card. Hey, you follow me. All right. And then we also remember that he's my provider and all of my needs, what I need is provided through the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And you know what also is a rich thing in Christ Jesus? The relationships beside you. Can you poke someone beside you? If you can't, you need to move. Listen, I'm telling you. We are the hands and feet of the Lord God. And I'll tell you this, if you're not doing life with people, they don't know your needs. And often pride will keep us from sharing needs. And we're just talking to Jesus. And it's okay to say I have needs, right? Because, guys, are we all mind readers? I know that there are beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. But can you just help us out a little bit and share your needs? So we can help share those burdens. And so Jesus can use us to what? Meet those. Amen? Isn't the greatest joy when God moves through you to help answer someone else's prayers? Maybe they're just like, I need childcare. If they're not telling anybody, come on, guys. All right, I know I have some amazing people in my church in answer to prayer on that one. All right. So things that bring unbelief, the ignorance of God's word, the will of God. How about our natural senses? What you can see, hear, touch. So no matter how many times you read about Jesus being the healer, sometimes you can touch something growing on your body. And you're going, that is messing with my belief, right? They're physical things, okay? Unbelief can just be a result of negative circumstances. Now, this is very interesting, and I've experienced this. Unbelief can grow through injustice in your life, especially when it's happened at a young age and throughout your life. And how many people know? This is a really messed up world, and sometimes we don't always see that justice. So injustice and disappointment, poor teaching, misinformation, it can stir up unbelief in our life. And so when you go read the Bible or you're in a Bible study or you're in church and you hear something that says Jesus is the healer, Jesus is your provider. You can put your trust in God and not be put to shame or disappointed. That scripture is a bunch of different times in the Bible. But that runs counter to what you've heard all your life or seen all your life or experienced all your life. When you're told your entire life healing isn't for today, that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased when the last apostle died. And that's ridiculous. And maybe you just do life with more people. I'll tell you, you'll see those gifts of the Holy Spirit start moving. Amen? All right? If you've been told your entire life that God doesn't care about providing for you, right? If you've been told your whole life he doesn't heal today, if you've been told by so many people, I've never seen a miracle, I've never experienced this healing, if you've been told your marriage is totally irreconcilable, if you've been told you're an addict and you're always going to be an addict and that's never going to change, it is sometimes harder to stand in faith to receive all that God has provided for you. Faith is a positive response to what we hear is his will, which is his word. All right, I'm going to need three people, guys, girls, doesn't matter. I'm going to need a quarterback, not quite yet, so be thinking. And if I don't get a volunteer, I'm just going to ask someone very nicely. I need a quarterback, I need a receiver, and I need someone to run interception. Three people, think about it. All right, I'm coming up to it. All right, so what are we talking about this? Every time we face heartbreak, disappointment, grief, loss, betrayal, let go from another job, we have a choice because there are two different paths. And I challenge us as a church to take the one less traveled. The path towards the comforter. Keep your eye on the ball, Jesus Christ, right? Or we can take the path of unbelief, which is defined by our circumstances, our emotions, our feelings, our experiences, and what everybody else has been telling us that runs counter to the word of God. I'd say one of the largest culprits of unbelief, and this is really tying into my message here, is unresolved hurt and distrust from others. Unresolved hurts and distrust from others, especially authority figures in your life, and sometimes parents. And I've worked in youth ministry for 20 years. I am turning 45 in December, praise God. We live in a very fatherless generation, but what I love, not in this church. We have wonderful fathers in this church, and they have become uncles and grandpas to other people in this church and have redefined the heart of God. And I thank you. And I've thanked many of you in my life. And I'll tell you, I'm just calling it out. Mark Salmon is our most favorite camp counselor. There was one year he got injured and couldn't come, and we were like distraught. God will use you, and I'll tell you, the older you get, the more you're needed, because we need people to represent the heart of Jesus Christ and the Father of God well. So thank you, men of God. But it does, a huge culprit of unbelief is unresolved hurt and distrust from others, often from parents or even father figures in life. It can kind of twist your view of God, especially I literally have counseled people where they just have to skip over any time it talks about Father God in the Word. That's not healthy, but because it hurts a place, often because they were abused. And what's so great is I got to introduce them to wonderful men of God in this congregation that became an example. They're not perfect, but of unconditional love and kindness and gentleness and strength, but in a way that protects and doesn't take advantage. And it's helped them rebuild a healthy view of the Lord and rebuild their faith in those scriptures, because you don't skip over the hard ones. You lean into them in community. Because sometimes you haven't seen that in your life and you need to experience or hear someone else's story that aligns with scripture, not runs counter. So I'm going to share a common story that I've heard time and time again in 20 years of youth and young adult ministry. Like I said, unresolved hurts, that brokenheartedness, can often lead us down the path of unbelief, especially when you remember how much it hurt when a parent promised you over and over and over again that they were going to pick you up. They were going to pick you up Friday. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'll be there at 5:30. Don't you worry. They've been telling you all week. And time again. And they still do it anyway. I've watched kids do this. And they pack their bag and they sit there on their front step with their teddy bear or their baseball bat. And they wait and they wait and they wait for faith that they're going to show up. You experience that a lot. It will start to mess with your view of God and your ability to trust that he keeps his word. Real talk. You need to let God heal that place. You're like, I didn't even know I had a broken heart. Well, do you know why? Because we went down the path of self-reliance. We went down the path of self-sufficiency and self-dependence because when we depended on that authority figure, that parenting figure, that person that kept saying they're going to show up, that person, or you ever had someone be like, oh no, I'm going to help you out with that. I'm going to help you get a car. I'm going to help you get a car. I'm going to help you get a car. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take you for that oil change. And they never do. Right? So what do? We put ourselves in a place of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, which is rooted in pride, independence from God. Do you remember the apple? This is a football. Let's pretend it's an apple. Remember a long time ago in a faraway place called the Garden of Eden? Original sin. To eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, go back and study it. They could cut out God. I don't need God as my source of provision. I don't need God as my source of wisdom, identity, purpose, love. The answer, he's the answer. We don't like the simplicity, do we? We'd rather just cut him out and live life apart from him. That's what Adam and Eve did. And I think all Christians have wrestled with it, right? Romans 4, 11 through 14. The definition of fallen from grace is very interesting. It actually means to fall into a place. Actually, I'll let the scripture speak for itself. How about that? I can preach, but I got a lot of scripture to share. All right, think about grace. We're going to preach it. Romans chapter 4, 11 through 14. So Abraham is our spiritual father of those who have faith, but have not been circumcised. That means, okay, that means the Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're not Jewish, if you weren't born Jewish, okay? All right, so it's talking about us, right? He is the spiritual father of all the other non-Jews. They are counted as righteous. Righteous means I am right with God, right? Because of their faith. If you have faith in Jesus, I am right with God. Not because I got circumcised, not because I dress a certain way, I talk a certain way, not because I have a 20-pound Bible with half of it falling apart, okay? Not because I wear a suit and tie, right? Not because I amen at everything Pastor Sherry says, right? We are counted righteous. We are right with God because of our faith in Jesus. Okay, verse 13. Clearly, God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to the law, not at him being so good at being good. Read about Abraham. He kind of fell into some lies. He was not perfect. Idolatry. Not based on his obedience to the law, but on his right relationship with God that comes by faith. He received an inheritance from God. Man, when people came to attack Abraham, you didn't attack Abraham. Why? Because he was right with God. And God would come in and fight his battle. God would provide for him. God would supercharge the small little army, and God would win the battle, right? And he would provide. It was based on his right relationship with God that comes by faith. Verse 14, and if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, and then faith is not necessary, the promise is pointless. All right, what are we talking here? When you fall from grace, you've fallen out of a place of receiving from God by faith. You fall from grace when you go into self-reliance, self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. Remember my son Zeke? Zeke do it, mama. Zeke do it. I do it. Don't need help, mama. I do it. My stubborn little toddler wants to do everything himself. And then he falls and trips and breaks stuff. Oh, mama, I messed up. Made mistake. That's okay, buddy. I love you. We learn it. When we are self-reliant, right? The path of unbelief. I don't need God. I got this. I'll call you for the big one. We have fallen from grace. Interesting. All right, we use faith to receive the promises of God. All right, we inherit the promises of God by faith. It is our positive response to what God has provided for us. We have to remember when we read the Word of God, Honestly, a lot of us fall out of faith because we're just not spending time in the Word. We're blowing through it, reading it. You know, I gotta read the Bible in 1 year, and we're not sitting down to just say, Lord, what are you trying to say? What is he saying to me, right? And meditate till it becomes revelation. Ephesians 2, verse 6, I am joint seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Let that sink. Sometimes you got to read that 20 times. I'm right with God. He's got my back. He saved me a seat beside him because I'm his kid, okay? It's not based on your sweat or your performance if you go on to read that in verse 8, right? We receive the promises of God by faith through grace, all right? So faith is the receiver, the connector, the lightning rod. Faith is the receiver, the connector, the lightning rod to all that God has provided for us. We receive all that God has provided for us by our faith in not our own best efforts, not in our own righteousness, not that I'm so good at being good. No one likes you. Sorry. If you're so good at being good, there's a reason why. No, okay, stop. Reeling in the humor here. All right. Because of our faith in him. Amen? Our reliance on him. And you will not find that down the path of unbelief, will you? All right? All right, so now here comes the time. I need three volunteers, and you can stand as close together as you want. I need a quarterback. I need a receiver. I need someone that's going to run interception. All right, can I have a hand raise, or I'm going to just pick you for a quarterback? I need just someone to just be able to throw this ball to someone else. This is the easiest job. Anyone? And I need a receiver that's going to catch it. Okay, and someone that's just going to smack the ball down. All right? All right, Mark, can you be the guy that just smacks the ball down? Just run interception. That's like the best part. Okay? All right, come on up. And Brad, can you be, actually, you can pick someone to be your receiver or quarterback. This is my amazing husband who was always trying to be recruited for football because he was big, but he's actually a musician. So, and he still loves me anyway. Okay. Now Brad gets to pick someone, okay? All right. So happy about this. Who's your friend right now? Thank you. Brad Green. All right, there you go. All right, get in your position. All right, babe, since you got the ball, you're the quarterback. Okay, Thomas, you're the receiver. Okay? All right. So, all right, for the quarterback who has an endless supply of grace, right? God's provision, the positive response to all God has provided for us, right? This is all that you need. All that I have need, God has provided. Right? You know that hymn? All that I need. Okay, I'm not going to sing. Here we go. All right. Receiver, your job is to keep your eye on Jesus, the ultimate quarterback, that is going to propel to you all that you need to do what God has called you to do in life. The definition of grace comes from the Greek word charis. Charis means God's divine influence, his character and nature, freely received in our heart and reflected in our life. All right. So, all right, my amazing husband, Brad, quarterback, with the endless supply of grace, God's divine empowerment to do what we're called to do, can you toss that to the receiver? All the receiver has to do is what? Keep your eye on Jesus and the ball and just catch it. Amen? Go. All right. Awesome. Okay, this is great. Now, our friend unbelief. Okay? All right. Now listen, unbelief is the beast that you feed, okay? Unbelief. Listen, I have a lot of, Joey Darby couldn't be here today, but he plays football, and he is giant. He is the biggest kid I know. And when he told me how much he eats, he goes directly to a butcher and gets a roast and cuts it up himself. Like you feed him, it gets bigger, it gets stronger. What? And that's the last thing you want to intercept, right? All right. So, Mark, your job is so simple. You can just smack it down. You could even just stand right in front of it. You could just body block it. It doesn't matter. Okay, run interception. All right. So when you feed the unbelief in your life, what happens? All right, you're just going to step into it, whack it down, whatever you think. Oh, there you go. Thank you. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you so much. All right. God is the ultimate quarterback with an endless supply of grace, that football, right? That is being propelled your way through the finished work of the cross, everything that was provided for us at the cross. Healing,
peace, the healing of hearts, the healing of minds, right? Provision, all that we need from the Lord, all that we are called to do that we cannot do on our own strength. All right? And we have to position ourselves by faith to receive those things. Amen? Faith is our positive response to receive all that Jesus has already won and done at the cross. And it is given to us freely by faith, right? Not by our own good works. All right, so the problem is this. You have to keep your switch of faith on. Every person in this room has faith, mustard seed faith. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. Be honest. If you are seeking Jesus, you're probably here today. And if you have a little pocket lint in the bottom of your pocket the size of a mustard seed, you got some faith, right? But also, every person in this room has wrestled or is wrestling with a little unbelief. Come on. Because we live in a world that runs counter to what Jesus says, right? We've had experiences. We are living some things that are opposite of what God said is available, right? So what do we do? Okay. Romans 4, 16 through 21. So inheriting the promise is received by faith. Romans 4, 16 through 21. I challenge you as a church, as I'm doing this series, meditate, dig into Romans. It will transform your brain. It's so good. All right? So inheriting the promises received by faith, it depends entirely on good works? No. It depends entirely on our experiences? No. We inherit the promises. It is received by faith and depends entirely on faith. Amplified Bible says that is confident trust in the unseen God. Now, what did we just talk about? When you've had authority figures or people in your life that have disappointed you, especially Christians, that have not kept their word, that have put you down, that have pumped your brain full of all negativity, and you're never enough, and you're not good enough, and you think. Brad and I went on a double date with some pastors last night, and they had shared that there was a person they were ministering to, and they believed in their heart, Jesus loves you. But in their heart of hearts, they didn't believe that Jesus loved them. You know where transformation comes? Honesty with the Lord. There are too many people that feel like they got to whitewash their prayers, and you need to be with someone that really knows you. So when you pray, go on, say how you really feel so we can uproot that unbelief. Amen? And replace it with a word of God. Not smack them. Oh, I can't believe it. No, build them up. But this is, don't put them down. Build them up with what the word of God says. Amen? Encourage them. All right. We don't weaponize scripture against people. We encourage them. All right. Here we go. All right. It is vitally important to keep your switch of faith on to receive the promises of God. And when there is unbelief running block in your life, right? When there is unbelief that is trying to intercept your faith in the Lord, okay? We need to feed our faith and not feed the beast of unbelief, all right? So let's go back to the scripture. Faith is confidence in God. So we're in still Romans 4, 16 through 21, okay? I'm going to read it again. So inheriting the promise is received by faith, depends entirely on faith, that is confident trust in the unseen God, so that it might be given as a free gift, an act of grace. When we think we can earn God's goodness, I got to be good enough. I got to be good enough. I got to say this scripture 1,000 times before I'm going to see it. We've fallen from grace. All right. We are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham, Abraham was right with God because he believed in him. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Father Abraham. And many sons, remember that little kitty song? Raise your hand if you are a son or daughter of Abraham. We inherit the promises of Abraham. His protection, his provision. Oh, he's so good to us. His healing, right? By faith. This is verse 17. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. You're the father of the Gentiles. Here we go. Okay, right? This happened because Abraham believed in God. Ready for this? For all of us that have dealt with disappointment, so me. Heartbreak, separation from things, your dreams that you felt have shattered, career paths, could be marriages, could be children, whatever capacity, loss. I've buried people that I love. Okay? Because Abraham believed in God who, ready for this, brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing. All I have is ashes. Calls into being that which does not exist. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. You know, he does resurrections in ways and in timings that normally was not what we wanted. Okay? Sometimes we fought to the very end in faith, and that's okay. He promises when we pray, he will work all things together for good. He's going to bring something good. All right? Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, so was Sarah's womb. But Abraham did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong and empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So how did he feed the faith and not the beast of unbelief? Amplified Bible says, he grew strong and empowered by faith when he gave praise and glory to God. If the only time you give praise and glory to God is our 35-minute opportunity here on Sunday morning, you better go big and hard, I'll tell you. But you wonder why you struggle with unbelief. But we're to live a lifestyle of praise and worship throughout the week. And sometimes we're just scrubbing dishes and I'm being thankful, right? Okay, sometimes we've been totally verbally torn apart by a customer on the phone. I've had that job and we hang up the receiver. Or if you've been me, I broke one time. Oh my gosh. And I go, God, I thank you for this job. Thank you. Thank you for this job. You know what? I thank you, Lord. All my needs are met according to the riches that I have in you. I thank you that we got through 2 economy crashes and I still have a job. Lord, I thank you you're the provider of my mortgage. Lord, I thank you that I got food in my fridge. I don't care how much macaroni and cheese we're eating. God is our provider, right? We have to choose to build our faith. We have to recount the goodness of God. And sometimes you're like, I don't even know. Just thank him for he saved you from the pit of hell. Thank you. I tell you, done a lot of things where I'm like really wrestling, where I'm living the opposite of what the gospel said is promised. And I go, but thank you for saving me. And then I'll recount someone else's story that aligns with scripture of his faithfulness and his healing. And I build my faith until I see it walked out in my own life. It says, okay, he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. You know what his fully convinced came from? Talking to God. He just walked with him. Just simple. He just talked to him throughout the day, right? And he gave praise and glory to the Lord until he was fully convinced God was going to do what he said he was going to do. It often didn't look like, it didn't look like what Abraham thought. Definitely wasn't in the timeline. Hello, he's 100 years old, right? All right. So every day we have to consider what we're giving our attention to. Are we going to take the path towards the comforter and his word and his scripture? Or are we going to take the path that everybody else travels in unbelief? What you give your attention to do. When we dwell and cycle on all the people that have hurt us, all the people that disappointed us, all the Christians that have stabbed us in the back, all the losses. What are we feeding? Now listen, did I tell you in the beginning, you are to grieve, right? You walk through it. You walk through it in community with people, right? Towards the comforter. But when we obsess and cycle and we get stuck in it and we wrapped our identity around all the betrayals in our life, we get bitter. And it changes us. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go to Mark chapter 9. This was the part that I knew the Lord said we had to get to, and I'm going to be obedient. I want you to go back and study it for the sake of time. Mark chapter 9, I'm going to focus in on verses 20 through 24. And this is about the Father, a brokenhearted father, and his little boy that had an afflicting spirit that was blocking healing of epilepsy. Now, it's funny. You can look in different translations. It was an epileptic child, which is a thing in the mind, right? You know, it's just, you know, we have some wiring in the mind, and he was having problems here. And there was a brokenhearted father, right? And then there was a spirit that was just blocking healing, okay? So I've taught this in the past. I don't have a lot of time. But verse 22, we're going to jump into the story, okay? The father asked Jesus, I want you to imagine that you are this father, that your child has been suffering, it says, since he was a little boy with epilepsy and the suffering that he would fall into water, he would fall into fire. This child must have been covered in scars and burns. You know, this is an ancient culture. They didn't have the safety measures that we have today. You can't go on Amazon and get a baby gate. Like, I mean, he probably lived in constant fear of what could happen to his child. Desperate and heartbroken, he comes to Jesus and he says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. He's brokenhearted. He's seen the suffering. He feels totally helpless. He just wants to protect his son. He wants his son to not live like this. I think as a father having a very sick child, you're always worried that you're going to, obviously, they're probably going to outlive you. Are they going to be safe? Are they going to be okay? I can't imagine the torment he's living in. He's brokenhearted. He's done everything he knows to do. Now, Jesus is sensing some unbelief. He said, if you can. All of us have faith and all of us have unbelief in our life. Let's be honest. If you can. So Jesus, it's interesting, he saw a teaching opportunity. He questioned the Father to change his way of thinking and to inspire faith. It's interesting. He didn't beat him down the head. He's like, look what he did. Jesus responded and exclaimed, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, realizing his mistake and unbelief, okay, the father immediately, this is interesting, this is heartbreak, cried out. Other translations say cried out with tears, burst out. Can you imagine? And out of his mouth, he said, I do believe. He had unbelief, right? But he made a choice to go down the other path. Don't beat yourself up if you are dealing with some unbelief in your life. But we're going to choose to put our eyes on the comforter, on the healer, Jesus Christ. What? If you can, I choose. I do believe. He made a choice. I choose to go down this path. Whatever path he was on, I choose now to go on the path towards the comforter. My eyes are on Jesus. I do believe, he cried out. And this is so honest. And we need to have honest prayers. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus gave him his word to help him overcome his unbelief. All things are possible. He is the way maker. He is the healer. He is the wonder working, miracle working God, right? And after hearing this heart change, right, Jesus then cast out this afflicting spirit that was just blocking that healing. And the little boy was totally healed and picked him up. All right, so what is this story? And I want to celebrate that moment. But people come up to me all the time beating themselves up for unbelief in their life, okay? Did you know his disciples that saw every miracle, healing, and resurrection dealt with unbelief in their life? I might not have time to go through scripture, but you're going to see it. His disciples that he handpicked to bring the gospel all over the world dealt with unbelief, right? And they saw wonders and signs. Okay, they dealt with it. Remember, like going through the storm, they think they're going to die. They've seen all kinds of miracles, okay? Okay, the religious people that knew all the scripture, they obviously had some unbelief because of misinformation, misteachings, right? Okay. All right. So don't beat yourself up. Faith and unbelief can exist at the same time in your life. How did Jesus shift him towards the path of the comforter? He spoke his word to remind him of who he really is. I'm the wonder-working God. I'm the miracle God. All things are possible to him who believes. All right, Matthew 17, 19 through 20, New King James Version. Afterwards, the disciple asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, most assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith, dig into your pocket, look for the lint, because you're probably not going to find a mustard seed, okay? But if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You know, it's interesting about a seed. I remember we were looking at redoing our parking lot here, but what do you see? A little seed can do a lot of damage. There's a lot of strength in a little seed
when it gets in a crack and you water it long enough, right? You can see little weeds burst through cement. We don't have time to go into it. I've driven past houses that they've just let things go to seed. And they literally have like giant like weeds bursting out of cement. And I literally saw it coming out of a windowsill. It's just bananas. Okay? We are to feed and water our faith with the word of God. And I'll tell you this, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Share your story that aligns. I'll tell you, it's so good. We have to feed it, okay? What happens when you don't use your muscles? It atrophies. You are going to have to exercise your faith for the common cold. You're going to have to exercise your faith for the small stuff. Every little thing, God, you're going to provide for me. Okay, use wisdom though. Take care of your body. Go to doctors. Do whatever you can in the natural, right? Okay, same thing with budget and everything. God makes promises, but he also gave us wisdom. And when you've done all that you know to do, you stand. Amen? All right. What are you exercising your faith for? Find something. Find something. All right? Okay, doubt and unbelief cause us to receive less than the best of what God has for us. All right? Unbelief hinders us from, it intercepts, unbelief intercepts our faith receiver, okay? So we all struggle with faith and unbelief at times, right? What are you going to feed the most? It's a choice. It's a choice. And when you see yourself going down doubt and unbelief, okay, don't beat yourself up. Go, I am now putting my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to put my eyes on his word. I am choosing the path of the comforter, all right? Thank you, Lord. All right, let's see here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to land the plane. We're going to pray. Come on, stand up. We're just going to pray. All right. Remember, there were two paths that we're all facing every day. One is the path of unbelief. When you face heartbreak, disappointment, grief, things are not going your way, when your heart is hurting, you have two paths. And one leads to isolation. One leads to bitterness. One leads to things that change who you are and who you're called to be. One leads to a place that really can affect and mess up your relationships and your view of God. And the other one is the path of the comforter. John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, the comforter, to be with you forever. The spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be with you. Amplified Bible says this, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I want to give you six just prayers, and don't worry about it. We just want to pray them. You don't have to write them down, but I just want us to pray as a congregation. All right? The first prayer, and I just close your eyes and you can say it in your own words, is Lord, help me draw close to you and your word. Lord, help me draw close to you and your word. He is his word, and it reveals his character and his nature. He's the healer. He's the giver. He's the provider. He's the sure and steadfast anchor of your soul. A second prayer, and you say it in your own words to him. Lord, give me courage. It's a famous prayer. Lord, give me courage to surrender my need to understand. Lord, give me courage to surrender my need to understand. I'll say this. This was, you know, things I had to do as I've gone through loss and grief and death. And I fought the fight in faith. And I didn't always see everything play out the way I wanted it. I don't understand everything. And I think it's arrogant for ministers to explain everything away. Chalk it up to the mysteries that we'll find on the other side of eternity. Just give it to him. Surrender it. To him. Give me courage to surrender it to him, my need for answers and to understand. And third prayer, Lord, reveal your heart, your character, your nature to me. Matthew 7:11 says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children,
How much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask him? Our God is a good father. And if you didn't have a good father figure or a parent figure in your life, I'd love to introduce you to some wonderful men of God in our church. And I encourage you to read about Jesus, because Jesus said, if you want to know my Father, I'm just like him. He's a good father. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's someone that lifts you up and doesn't put you down. You're always good enough for Jesus. He was drawn to the greatest of misfits and broken people. The fifth prayer, Lord, reveal your great love for me and others. And don't rush through this one. Jesus, just ask, we're going to just talk to him. Jesus, I thank you. Just fill my heart with your love. Ephesians says, in Ephesians 3, it's a prayer that says that you would reveal the length, the width, the great depth, the height. It's like a three-dimensional, four-dimensional love, that it would saturate us. And Lord, that it would overflow towards love and grace and forgiveness towards other people around us. So this is just some moment just to say, Lord God, I forgive those people that have betrayed me. I forgive those people that have talked bad about me. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, these areas of loss, death, Lord, it really hurts. My heart's been broken. It's been disappointed even in you. But your word says, if I put my trust in you, I will not be put to shame or disappointed. And you're going, but I feel shame and I feel disappointment. Then surrender it to him. He will take it. He bore our shame on the cross. These are prayers you don't rush through. Lord, bring me into community. This is a hard one to pray, because this normally runs counter, especially after the pandemic, to how a lot of people feel. But Lord, I thank you. Bring us into community so we can walk things out with the people, with church family, with friends that are going to have our back and encourage us, build us up, comfort us. A prophetic word, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, is a word that builds up, comforts, encourages, and strengthens. People that give us scriptures, that remind us of God's faithfulness, that share their testimonies and stories with us, that just says, don't quit. And the sixth prayer, very simple. Lord, use me to bring healing to others. Lord, use me to bring healing to others. Lord, use me to bring freedom to others. Lord, use me to bring provision to others, that you get all the glory. Lord, everything that we've gone through, battles won or lost, Lord God, I thank you that says in Romans 8:28, when we pray, the context is prayer. Not just little coin toss prayers, but deep heartfelt prayers to the Lord. The groanings where you just run out of words. He promises when we pray, even from a broken heart, that he will work all things together for good. So Lord, we surrender any disappointment, any hurt, betrayals, loss, grief. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to rework and resurrect something, beauty from ashes, that would help other people. We'd be quick to share our story, to encourage. Lord, we just love you. And we choose the path of the Comforter. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. You are loved. If anyone would like any prayer, if there's something we can just pray for and encourage you about, I invite you to come forward. We'd love to talk and pray with you. If I could get five grow group leaders, ministry directors,